New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over! 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
All right, Brad, before I even welcome people back to Thompson to Clark, I have to deal with this channel, BSPN.
Yes.
Had to deal with a very unfortunate and terrible and frustrating 49ers loss yesterday, though your team did pull one out there against the New England Patriots.
Pulled it out of their, you know what?
And we both watched a very old Mike Tyson on Friday night, we do have a post show on this website on this channel as we simulcasted from Fight Game Media. We're dealing with what did you call this last night? It is whatever the opposite of a hot stove off season.
Whatever. They keep saying, you know, every time it comes to the baseball offseason, you know, the phrase hot stove has been, you know, in our vernacular since we were kids, right? Yeah, I mean, it was the hot stove. Yeah. Whatever the hell the opposite of hot stove is, that's definitely what's going on now. I think Travis d'Arnaud, I think, signed with the Angels.
Oh,
that's exciting.
There you go. But basically it was to say that, you know, a lot of stuff has been kind of keeping us down a little bit, including Buster Posey trying to turn back the clock to 2010, which we will talk about here in a second. But the one thing that I have right now as a sports fan, now we don't follow all of the same sports teams, but I have my Warriors who are playing above what fans thought. And as I am wearing my Steph Curry hat right now, as I'm wearing my Steph Curry workout vest, there you go, with the three. And I'm also drinking the Gentleman's Cut Steph Curry bourbon.
Nice.
I bought it. JJ came over, who just turned 24 today. So happy birthday, JJ.
Happy birthday, old man. Jeez, 24.
24. So, yes, 24. I have a 24-year-old and I have a 25-year-old.
Oh, my gosh.
And then my stepdaughter's 9 years old. So I'm
there you go.
Going way up and way down. But anyway, you know, we're dealing with this malaise of the baseball offseason. Both of our football teams are like average as average can be, both 5-5.
500,
yeah. So the Warriors are actually doing well, and that's kind of what I'm looking forward to. But in the midst of all of that, it is so cold in the Bay Area, so much that we're getting like frost warnings, which you grew up in the Bay Area. You've never probably seen snow in the Bay Area. So
I did. Yeah, actually in the 70s, because remember, I'm an old guy.
So
I remember
this. Older.
Yeah, in the 70s, before I turned 4 years old, the first house we lived in, we were in. Oh, what's that area out like the Silver Creek golf course,
evergreen area out there?
Yeah out there. We were up in the hills, and I remember I have pictures of it, I had me out there playing in the snow in the backyard. But I lived here 20 years now, I shovel snow in
my house. Yeah, it's much more of your day of your day-to-day. So you know what I kind of wanted to just say, you know, we take a lot of things for granted. Whatever gets you going, we're getting close to Thanksgiving here. Sports wise, it may not be on the up and up for us right now at all times, but you know, we're going to get through this and we're going to talk about baseball, and you know, we're going to get through what is an interesting signing, an interesting position created for one Randy Wynn. I'm not sure he's technically like suited for the position that was created for him, but
we don't even really know what that position is.
Yeah, it's very vague, and his description of what his qualifications were very vague. But you know, this is the part of the baseball season for us where it's like we kind of have to like create stuff. So we'll have a created segment later. You're going to look back at stuff that we had talked about a year ago, show. But we're gonna get through this, and you know we'll hopefully have some entertaining conversation. But you know the bourbon is keeping me warm.
That's right.
Family's healthy. Parents are healthy. My mom just celebrated. My parents celebrated their 50th anniversary of late. My mom turned 71, and she's like, you know, thinking about I've all these things I want to do still, so I'm excited to attack those. So I have that to say, sometimes sports suck, sometimes the world culture sucks.
Mm-hmm. That too.
We're gonna figure out some things to talk about.
I've got, speaking of keeping warm, it's 33 degrees outside right now, and I decided to make a Manhattan tonight because
I'm jealous.
Yeah, the wife and I went to South Tahoe. I think it was not last weekend, the weekend before. Ran into this little place. If you ever get a chance to go to it, it's called Knowles Coffee. Knowles Coffee and Apothecary. So they serve coffee from 7 a.m. to noon. Then at noon, the red light goes to green. In the place, and all of a sudden the drinks start flowing. So we went there. We stumbled in there one night, and of course in Tahoe it's cold. So we went in there, and I kind of got reinvigorated when I ordered a Manhattan there. They had some spiced bitters in it. Usually in a Manhattan you throw like orange bitters or whatever. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. This was spiced bitters. Oh my gosh, it was one of the best Manhattans I ever had. So I thought, you know what? I have all the stuff to make a Manhattan, so I got to start doing that more often. I think my sweet vermouth is about 3 years old, so it's probably time to replace that. But
there you go.
But yeah, I went back to the Manhattans because it's that time of year. It's cold. It's time to warm up.
It is. It is. And that the bourbon is doing me well right now. And you know, it's not quite 33. It's, you know, it's 50. So it's not.
No, that's cold for the Bay Area.
It's cold for the Bay Area. You know, you guys scoff at that. You know, you're wearing a cutoff t-shirt. And
50, I'm out in shorts and a t-shirt mowing the lawn. So yeah.
Let's talk about the Randy Wynn thing. And this news was like they didn't have this position of a VP of player development. So I wanted to read through Alex Pavlovich, I thought, you know, had the best article, and Andrew Baggerly had a good piece too. But, you know, and Alex Pavlovich kind of, he was answering some questions that I thought. So I'll read through some of this, and I want to hear your thoughts. So Alex calls this a new role that puts him in charge of Giants minor leaguers and the organization's efforts to return to the days when contributors regularly were coming from within. So the overcorrection of kind of like the Farhan mindset, which is we have this roster of talent, these minor leaguers. Let's not get too close to anybody because we can ship them out when need be. Though, you know, he really didn't trade a lot of these guys, but it's just the mentality of, you know, they're kind of like pieces on a chessboard rather than, you know, human beings that you are drafting to bring into your team to eventually grow onto the main roster. So that is a little bit of a shift organizationally. And he wrote that Wynn will work with Senior Director of Player Development Kyle Haynes, whose role will not change, and Haynes is a holdover from the Zaidi regime, and he will continue to run day-to-day operations for player development. Wynn will set the tone for the department, and this is a key for me because this is like jargony to me. Think big picture about what we do, how we do it, and our goals and our messaging. So you have this guy Haynes, who's running the thing day to day, who probably knows so much more about player development than Randy Wynn does. And yet you bring in Randy Wynn, probably because he is somebody Buster Posey trusts and sees as a part of like the ecosystem of what makes the Giants. And maybe that's good for Haynes, because now he can have a go through to Posey, who Posey trusts. But the think big picture thing to me tells me they have no idea what Randy Wynn is going to be doing.
I think you're right. I think it almost feels like a buddy hire. I mean, you know, as a Rams fan back in the day, we had Spagnuolo is a fantastic defensive coordinator for the Kansas City Chiefs. Right?
He's awesome. He's like Kyle Shanahan's kryptonite.
Yeah, and he was the Rams head coach, I don't know if you remember, in the early 2010s.
He was terrible.
He was an awful head coach. Just the four pillars. But we always joked about as Rams fans was, oh, there's another coach hire, a friend of Spags. There's another friend of Spags. And then this guy comes in, unqualified friend of Spags. So it kind of feels almost like we're getting friends of Buster. I'm waiting to see when Hunter Pence gets hired. When Michael Morris gets hired.
Well, this is part of Randy Wynn's resume is that because I was trying to think, I was like, what has he been doing of late? Oh, yeah, he's on the Giants postgame show.
Well, and charisma is not, I wouldn't put that number one on his resume.
Yeah.
I don't know how many times we texted during a postgame show and we're like, if you put Randy Wynn on TV and the postgame show, I'm going to go to bed. That's just, I mean, it's that feeling of the droning, the low energy, the this and that. But hey, I don't know. I mean, usually a VP, you can create a VP position and not have it be, you know, like, it's really not, I hate to say it's not that important, but for the organization, it could be fantastic. It could be, you know, something that Randy Wynn excels at. Obviously, we don't know. We're not on the inside, but it's kind of interesting to see. I just want to hear more about this VP of player development, because I don't know, man.
Okay,
so where were the applicants? Could I have applied? I don't know.
It gets better. And here's how it gets better. Do you know that they asked Randy if he wanted to interview for the GM position?
Oh, I did read that. I tried to forget it, but I did read it, yes.
Manasian, who they promoted within to be the GM, at least he is like been a baseball ops guy for, you know, a lot of his career. Randy Wynn was a scout for 1 year, but under the current GM. So maybe that's the connection. Maybe he made that big of an impact on the new GM.
Yeah, and he was ready for that advancement. Maybe he saw that he was ready for that advancement.
But I don't think he stayed at that level. I think he then did something else. Randy Wynn did some stuff with the, what was it? The Giants Fund or whatever. He worked as a special assistant to Bobby Evans, so maybe Bobby Evans has a recommendation to Posey about how smart Randy Wynn is. But it's almost like, and I'm going to compare this to our current government, it is almost like we're hiring people for the opposite reason of why they should be hired. We are showing the fan base, like, it really doesn't matter what you've done. It only matters how big of a fan of ours you are. Randy Wynn, you've been a Giant through and through for these last several years. We're going to reward you by creating a position for you. Now, I know it's not that simple. I'm just saying how it looks to us.
I get it.
Without them explaining exactly why Randy Wynn is with the front office and why they created a role for him. You know, that's what it feels like. And it feels like what's happening with government, and it's not as important, obviously, but it's like this, not about qualifications, guys. That's not about how this thing works.
Right. So you're saying there's a good chance we might see Sergio Romo as VP of ice baths in the next couple of weeks.
Davis, is that what you're getting at? Davis has a good one, which will be good for us because we're fans of Kevin Franzen, baby, SJSU's own Kevin Franzen. Maybe absolutely. He's got a position somewhere. He can, he could at least hit fungos or something.
Yeah. Was he ever on KNBR? Because that's,
I think so. I think
that's a sinking though, ship from what I
Yeah. Right? KNBR is having its own problems. Oof. Tom Tolbert's gone. John Lund is gone. Like just bad stuff happening in radio, which is what I saw coming, but I saw this coming 25 years ago rather than, than today. All right. A couple of other quotes here. So I mentioned that he was an assistant to Bobby Evans. He was the pro scout under you pronounce Zach
Manassian.
You pronounced it for me last time.
I looked it up because I looked it up. That's the only reason.
And in 2012, he was a roving outfield and base running instructor through 2016 before he then went up to Evans. So those are the qualifications. And here's what Wynn said about what he is doing to prepare for this role. He is diving into studying the farm system. Usually the people who get jobs like this have already done that work. They've already, they already know it like the back of their hand, but he's going to dive in. And he's watching video of young Giants prospects, and he knows what he wants the department to focus on. They want young players to play to their strengths. He noted that he was a line drive hitter with speed as a prospect, and he doesn't want to change those types of young players and try to get them to hit the ball out of the ballpark. So that there's another overcorrection, which is how the development is today, is teaching players how to hit the ball in the air, because just the idea of there's a better chance for you to do something positive in your at bat if you hit the ball up in the air rather than hitting it on the ground. Some pitchers are trying to get you to hit the ball on the ground. So that seems like a little bit of an overcorrection to me, is to go, no more of this launch angle stuff, and no more of this, miles per hour off the bat. We want you to focus on what you do well. So if you are Punch and Judy, we're going to make you the best Punch and Judy hitter of all time. And that kind of leans into something that Baggerly wrote earlier. Mm-hmm. I think it was late last week, about the mindset of the offense and where they want the offense to go. Much more contact, much more, Buster is one of the few believers in the RBI still. And he thinks it's actually a skill set rather than luck, which is baseball's kind of leaned on luck of late. And so it's really just like this shift. And if Farhan was like 100% in one direction, I love Buster getting like 40% back, but it's almost like he wants the entire 100% back. And that is my frustration with it, which is you have an organizational shift that will probably take several years to reteach or to unlearn or whatever. And he's like, nope, we're going. We're just going this year, and we're just going to do it our way. And I just find that to be a little maybe optimistic, or maybe a little bit of what someone without experience like him and now Randy Wynn would try and do. I don't know.
I get it, but you got to start somewhere, right? And you have to start some time. And now when you've got a roster, I think that is offensively so young, why not? Right. Why not start now? I love old school baseball. When the whole analytics thing started jumping in, and I try to grab onto it. I try to grasp it. I study it. I try to work it into this podcast as well.
You studying analytics would qualify you to run the Giants analytics department right now.
I get, but I never wore the uniform. But I did work for the Giants. Remember, I did play by play for the San Jose Giants. So I did in the organization, right?
You did. You qualified.
So maybe I qualified. Who knows?
But who knows more about OPS plus, you or Buster?
It's a draw. I think it's a draw. Because I don't, I mean, maybe he's been to Fangraphs. I don't know. We'll have to. That's a good question for you know, the press to ask him. Hey, Buster, have you ever been to Fangraphs?
I'm teasing Buster a little bit, but I just find it so interesting that his message to the public is like that. Baseball's about the hard-nosed play and the breaking up two and the choking up with two strikes. And like, baseball hasn't been that. Like, what team?
It's been a while.
What team has won a championship? Like the Dodgers. Like Shohei, every time he swings, it's out of his ass whether he has two strikes or no strikes, and he's the best hitter in baseball. Yeah. You know, so who's doing these things? The Dodgers could hit home runs 1 through 9, which is what made them so destructive. They didn't have little Wade Mechler choking up in the two hole like we would have had in 1988 and 87 when we were really into baseball. That's how you played back then. So it's almost like Buster's trying to turn the page, not even farther back to 2010, but he's trying to turn it back to when we were kids watching this game. That's what's kind of weird to me.
The go-go Cardinals of the 80s, right? I mean, that's, you know, but I mean, when you look at it though, Buster is he's a strategic guy, right? Yeah, I mean, to command pitching staffs and 3 world championships, you have to be strategic. You have to be one step ahead of the hitter.
Smart guy, so, savvy guy, did his homework, knew the hitters, knew his pitchers, like you said, ahead of the game for sure.
So if he's been studying the game the last couple of seasons, last couple of years, last 10 years, maybe he sees that there's an opening for this. There's a you know, you can slide in and make this happen. There's room for that in the game. And there is, really. I mean, when you look at it too, you look at teams that can steal bases. They cause problems. If you can steal bases, if you could put the ball in play, you're constantly creating pressure on the defense. If you're striking out, you're not putting any pressure on the defense. It's one guy that you're battling, and that's the pitcher and catcher. Well, two, pitcher and catcher, because catcher is calling and trying to, you know, figure out, you know, the game plan to pitch to this guy. So you got two guys. If you're constantly putting the ball in play, you're making a couple of guys, 2-3 guys make a play and you're putting pressure on them. So I like that kind of baseball because things can happen. You're not going to win a championship all the time because you're good. You're going to win a championship because you're good and you're lucky. You're going to have the baseball gods are going to be on your side now and again if you win a World Series. It's just kind of how it happens. Mm-hmm. I mean, Dodgers, were they? Yeah, maybe. You know, that Padres series was tough. They were down, right? They were down 2-1. Was that a 3-5? I think it was. Mm-hmm. And they were down 2-1. So they had to come back in that. And they got down 2-1, not because they were, you know, a great team. They got down 2-1 because the Padres got a little lucky and some things went their way. But I don't know. I'm open to it. I'm open to a change. Look, you're 500, you're 500, you're 500, you're 500. At some point, you got to take a step forward. And I think there's room to say, now let's start looking more at I don't want to say, because this will scare off fans, but I don't want to say small ball, because that's not what we're talking about. You still have to have home run hitters. You still have to have a Willie Adames, a Pete Alonso. You're going to give up some defense somewhere. You're going to give up some speed somewhere to have guys who can hit home runs. But you know, like Bags said, even the best 2-strike teams was what he reported that it was the Milwaukee Brewers.
Yeah.
And they hit 201 with two strikes. you don't even want to get to two strikes. It's not that 200 batting average. Not great. So
you get overpowered in today's baseball if you got two strikes on you.
Exactly. So pick pitches early, drive pitches early, put balls in play early. Yeah. I mean, you're going to keep pitchers pitch counts down. That's fine. But the way pitch counts are nowadays,
yeah,
if you keep it to 70, the guy's going to get pulled anyways. So
yeah.
I'm open to it. I really am. I'm excited to see. Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't think about it from that perspective, but when we were growing up, the Bill James book said that Wade Boggs was like the most valuable hitter because of his ability to walk. And yes, we saw walks as like there would be crazy conversations about Barry Bonds because he would take a 3-1 fastball in the outside corner that was like an inch and a half off the plate, and he would not swing at it with a runner on third, and fans would get really, really mad. It's like, oh, he's too selfish. He only cares about his on-base percentage. But what it was a discipline, because if he started swinging at that pitch, he was going to swing at it in other counts too, and it would ruin the reason why he was as great as he was. But if you're not Barry and or Brandon Belt, who had a great eye, but who also struck out a ton, you know, maybe getting two fastballs, you know, maybe they may not be right down the middle, but getting to fastball counts and not waiting for the sweepers and, you know, the nasty stuff, it could be a better game plan. But it's just the way that we've watched baseball, you know, these last 10 years, and 10 years being, you know, the last time the Giants won a World Series, it has shifted, clearly has shifted, yeah, and it is a different game. And so it's almost like Buster's trying to put the genie back in the bottle. I want to see it. I just don't know if they can afford this experimental year until they go, okay, we went way too far over and we have to adjust. I would have rather have seen them incrementally do it to kind of get maybe closer to the middle instead of doing that giant overcorrection. Cause I just think when you do these wide sweeping things, it's just very hard to get the entire organization, the entire process that is that organization, to, you know, all of the minor league teams that they have, all of the coaches that they have, some of whose strengths are different than what Buster wants. It's like, okay, you guys got this offseason to fix it and we're running it next year. I would have liked to see a little bit more, like, slowly but surely, let's kind of get back to this middle. But
yeah,
it doesn't sound like that's what we're going to see.
There were hitting coaches with, you know, a year left on their contracts, Guerrero and Vili, both had a year left on their contracts. And so maybe keep them around, transition. I see what you're saying. For kicks, do you know what Tony Gwynn hit with two strikes?
Like 260?
302.
Oh my God.
It's ridiculous. Like 302. If you hit 302 in a career, you'd had a great career. He hit 302 with two strikes.
Amazing. What an amazing baseball player he was.
Yeah. He was the greatest. I loved him.
Oh man. Even when he was out of shape and fat, just hitting lasers, hitting ground balls where people were not. Like, still was very athletic, even though it was pretty clear he was a little overweight. But man, you know, never see a. I guess who would be the closest to him today?
Today I was going to say Pablo was closest to him for us, but Pablo would hit balls off of his shoestrings, balls at his eyes. Tony Gwynn laid off of all of that stuff.
Yeah, he had a much better eye.
Yeah. But today. Luis Arraez?
That I think is probably the closest.
Yeah, I think so. I want to look at his, I'm just going to look up his career real quick with two strikes, because he was, or was it the Padres who led the league with two strikes?
I thought it was the Brewers. I think we read the
I think it is the Brewers, yeah. Yeah. But I'm kind of curious what Arraez did last year with two strikes, because he did come up because the Padres were actually pretty good with two strikes last year. So career wise, with two strikes, Luis Arraez is a 275 hitter.
And what about someone who is on the ballot this year for the Hall of Fame and will get in as the first ballot Hall of Famer? What was Ichiro's two strike average?
That's a good question. And he was, I mean, God, if he is not a first time, ballot Hall of Famer, I'll be completely shocked.
But I don't think he's going to be unanimous just because, it's really hard to be unanimous. But,
well, and also because he was older when he came to play in Major League Baseball. So I think that is a small ding, but he'll still make it. But yeah,
absolutely. He's going to make it.
Yeah. Two strike hitter. 253.
Shocking. How interesting. And the thing he had is he was just so fast. So would think if he just hit the ball on the ground, he probably legged out a few of those.
Yeah. His best, let's see. His best would have been almost first pitch. He hit 365 on the first pitch.
Remember he hit that inside the park home run against Lindstrom in the All-Star game?
Disgusting. Yes.
That was not nice.
Well, that's because I think whoever was playing center field obviously was not familiar with our ballpark. So
yeah.
That kind of hurt us. But 2-1 count, he hit 366. But his best 1-0 count, 376.
Wow.
He had 408 of his hits on 1-0 counts. That's pretty impressive.
You gotta get the ball over on Ichiro. First pitch strike. Yeah.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
The best New Year's deals are happening now at Tanger Outlets. Celebrate with up to 70% off savings from Nike Factory Store, Coach, Michael Kors, Under Armour, Polo Ralph Lauren, Kate Spade New York, and so many more. From activewear to accessories, beauty, and apparel, find everything you're looking for to kickstart the new year. The clock is ticking. Hurry into Tanger Outlets to save more. Hundreds of brands, unbeatable value. Plan your trip at tanger.com.
Oh, yeah. Or else
all right. We have another. We have another one of our Who Do You Want segments here. This time it's going to be between Max Fried and Blake Snell. Right, I'm going to read through some stuff here on both of these players. Now, on all the lists that I've seen, Max Fried is higher on the list of free agents than Blake Snell. And I think the reason is because there is a belief that when he loses velocity, he's still going to be able to be pretty competitive because of his control and because of his breaking pitches. And the worry is when Snell loses velocity, because he doesn't have great control, he could fall off a little bit more. Like we saw it with Lindstrom, right? The second Lindstrom lost that velocity, he was less effective. So here is the projection by Tim Britton from The Athletic. We use the same article that he had written for the one we did last time with Christian Walker and... who do we do? Who was it?
Walker and Goldschmidt. Yeah,
Goldschmidt. Okay. So his projection for Max Fried is 5 years, $140 million. His projection for Blake Snell is 4 years, $110 million. Keith Law has Max as the number four free agent in his top 50. And he basically says that because he relies so little on his four-seamer to finish off hitters, he believes he's going to hold value into his mid-30s. And I believe Max is Is he 31 right now? I think
He's 30. He's still 30 right now.
Okay.
So he's almost 31.
Yeah. When the season starts, he'll be 31. So he's a little bit older than Blake. And for Blake, it's really just that he's so dirty. Like, his stuff is so filthy that he can really, really get on crazy runs like we saw in the second half. But the problem is that he walks a lot of guys. But because he misses bats and his stuff generates weak contact, he can still be an above average guy even when he's not the Blake Snell that we know today. He also said that his BABIP last year was a little lucky or fluky, is how Keith described it. So, all right. So what Blake Snell is rumored by Tim Britton to be in the market of is 1 year less overall than Freed. And if I can do the math here, 5 into 140, just under 30 per, and Blake 4 for 110, also under 30 per. So the AAV is probably going to be very similar, but he has Freed 5 for 140, Snell 4 for 110. Which of those contracts and players, because it's not just the player, it's also the contract, which one would you like more for the Giants for the next several years?
So I had to correct you real quick. Blake Snell is actually going to be 32.
Oh, he's older.
Yeah, in 2 weeks, he'll be 32.
There you go.
So he'll play all next season as 32. I'm going to ask you for those numbers again, because I looked at SpotTrac today.
Okay.
And they go predictions based on what other players, similar numbers, similar age, have gotten over the last couple of years, and then inflation and, you know, rising contracts and everything else. So they've got Max Fried at 6, 150, so 25 a year. They've got Blake Snell at 5, 131, 26 a year. So only a $1 million difference between the two per
it's,
year.
It's so really it's really the extra year. So he had Freed at 5 for 140, and then he had Blake at 4 for 110.
Okay. So yeah, I think that's why Blake Snell's estimated to get one less year, but again, he's got Scott Boras, so I mean, you could probably add on a year or two on that on top of that, but
he gets jacked and he's got to go through this whole rigmarole again.
Yeah, exactly. So looking at those two players, I did a bunch of other numbers too. I'm leaning towards Max Fried because of the 2 years younger. I'm leaning towards Max Fried because the less walks per nine. I'm leaning towards Max Fried because the higher ERA plus, and also he has really good numbers at Oracle. So does Blake Snell. So Max Fried's numbers at Oracle, 2.59 ERA, 20, but that's just 24 innings pitch, but he's only given up two home runs at Oracle. But you look at Blake Snell, 2.48 ERA. Of course, he's pitched 76 innings because he was with us last season.
And
he's
only National League three, West historically.
Yeah, exactly. And the National League West. And he's only given up three home runs in 76 innings. But he's pretty much almost doubled the walks per nine. You look at Max Fried, he's 2.5. You look at Blake Snell, he's 4.1 walks per nine. And at 32 years old, like you said, you lose that velocity. Is that number going to start going up? Plus, all of the injuries over the years for Blake Snell, you're looking at probably an average of 160 or more innings for Max Fried. You're looking at an average of 130 or more innings for Blake Snell, based on past injuries and past seasons. So I would take Max Fried, I think, in a heartbeat over Blake Snell. And I like that deal because I like Max Fried. I think Blake Snell is too much of a number one, I think that's going to drive up his price even higher. Mm-hmm. I think Max Fried, you can look at him and say, well, he's not a true number one. It's tough to say. Harveen just chimed in. He said Max Fried because of Oracle Park. But he chimed in on my text. So he's not. so he's obviously watching the show, but he's, you know, chiming in a different way. But I think Max Fried, because I think Max Fried paired with Logan Webb and the innings that those two could pitch together.
Yeah.
I think is a dangerous combo for the rest of the National League West.
I'm with you. I think this is the first one that we've actually agreed on. Last year, Max Fried averaged 6 innings per start.
Right.
Blake Snell was at 5, like almost right at 5. And some of that was an early rough start. He did go deep into games at the end of the year.
Well, he started late with the team, had to get ramped up, had the injuries, had to get ramped up again. So a lot of that played into that.
Yeah, maybe if he didn't wuss out in the last start, he would have. I'm just kidding.
We had more innings.
We already went over that one. I think you can look at this in two different ways. Like, we can probably go, if it was a 1-year contract, who do you want? And it might be Snell. If it was a 2-year contract, sure. Who do you want? And it might be Snell. Once you get to the 3, 4, 5, and 6, I think I would rather have Fried. But anything can happen. Freak injuries, whatever. Blake can, you know, figure out some things. But like, if you look at it from that standpoint, you know, in the next 2 years, the way that we saw Blake Snell pitch in Oracle at the end of the season, this dude could be a Cy Young Award winner very easily. But then after that second or third year, then what will he be? Will he be Barry Zito? You know, will he be, you know, something like that? Lincecum, which I mentioned that, you know, once Lincecum's fastball velocity dipped under like 93, 94, then he struggled. So I think we agree on this one. You know, if you're a fan of the Giants, you're happy with either guy being on the roster. But yeah. Being that we're comparing these guys and looking at the market, and they're the two best starting left-handers out there, if we had to pick, I think I like yours. I think I'd go with Fried. What do you think about Sasaki, by the way? Roki Sasaki, the young pitcher coming out of Japan.
I mean, the things I've read, he's obviously going to be on a minor league deal and have to make the club because he's coming out so early from Japan. I would love to have him. I mean, that would be fantastic. That would be another, but he can choose from any team. There's really not, there's not a whole lot of restrictions. So he can go pretty much anywhere he wants. From the things I've read and the things you've listened to, kind of sounds like he wants to be the big fish, though. Mm-hmm. And so if he wants to be the big fish, do you go to LA and you're just another starter and you
have Yamamoto and Shohei?
I mean, you're going to be under their shadow if you're over there. So, you know, I'm trying to sell him. Come to San Francisco won't. I mean, you'll be like the premier Japanese pitcher that we have been trying to get for a few years.
Yeah.
Imanaga, Yamamoto. I mean, Shohei, we've been trying to get, you know, a Japanese player of that caliber, that could throw lights out with the movement and everything else. And, you know, the culture in San Francisco, you know, it's kind of a fantastic mesh. The fan base would welcome him, you know, with arms wide open. So that's, you know, that's one of those things I would love to, again, you're getting him on a minor league deal. And I think you're using, From what I read, you're using also international money, right?
Yeah.
But it's not like a huge amount.
I think if he comes out this year, because he could still just go back to Japan and play another year if he wants. So if he comes out this year, the Dodgers have a lot of the international bonus money, and maybe next year they don't have as much. There's some weird thing that that's into the weeds on how this stuff works.
I think in January it kicks over again. And once January, and then so that's why they might wait until January to kick the negotiations and go that route. But yeah, I mean, to get somebody like Max Fried and Sasaki, and all of a sudden, and again, Sasaki's going to be on a pitch limit, and everything else is just what happens nowadays when you know come over from Japan, they pitch less, and so you come over here and you're going to be on a pitch count. And you're going to, you know, can we ramp him up? Can we get him up to speed? But like, you know, the Giants have always talked about the philosophy is always you got to have seven or eight starting pitchers. So mm-hmm. to have that feather in your cap waiting to go, I mean,
not the new Giants. Buster's like, nope, we're only going five. Different. If your arms, your shoulders about to fall off, too bad.
Yeah. We'll take you if you can go nine innings. If you can't,
exactly.
Look somewhere else.
Oh, man. All right. So, you had something that you had looked at from one of our shows from a year ago that you wanted to.
Yeah, I stumbled onto this one today. So last Thanksgiving, we did a hopeful, thankful segment. I don't know if you remember that, but that was kind of fun. And we each chose two things that we were hopeful for, that we would be thankful for when the season ended. And I completely forgot about it. And I was kind of going through it today. It's going to make you sad.
Oh, I mean,
it's
no. just,
it's going to make you sad.
Adding to my sadness from this weekend of stuff. Yeah,
exactly. So my first thing that I wanted to be hopeful, thankful for was I wanted our starting pitchers to be in the top 10 in innings pitch by the end of the season. Because I thought going into the season, we got Webb. We didn't have Snell at this point. But I thought, you know, if we're going to go deeper, and Farhan kept talking about it, we got it. If we're going to go deeper in the playoffs, we got to get these guys stretched out. We got to have these guys ready and pitching, you know, six, seven innings so we can rest the bullpen. So in 2023, we were 23rd in innings pitch for starters at 729.1. Last year, we went up to 778.1. We went up about, what is that, about 50 innings almost. But then we dropped to 29th. We went from 23rd to 29th. Because Seattle, just to put it in perspective, led the league in innings pitch for starters with 942. So wow. Almost 170 more innings than the Giants had out of their starters. The second thing that I wanted to be hopeful, thankful for, and this is just total pipe dream, I because I'm a stolen base guy. I love speed. I wanted us to be top 15 in stolen bases. Well, in 2023, we were dead last at 30th with 57.
Bad.
But hey, in 2024, we moved up a spot. We were 29th with 68 stolen bases. 68. Okay, think of that number, 68. Then think of the league leader, the Washington Nationals, with 223 stolen bases.
Jeez.
223, and we had 68.
Was that Fitzgerald? Was he the one who had kind of picked it up for us?
You know, I didn't even look, but he did.
I know Chapman had a good
Chapman had for him, yeah, well. He had a few, and but yeah, Fitzgerald led the team, but the year before, Tyro Estrada led the team. Mm-hmm. He had 20 of our 57 stolen bases the year before. So
all right, what were mine?
I didn't have yours. I'm sorry. Yeah,
it's all right.
I only had mine on there, but that was not.
Mine must have been even worse than that, then, if we don't even remember them.
Yeah.
Okay.
I ripped them up and I threw them.
So we will not be back next week for the Thanksgiving holiday. I don't imagine anything big is going to happen. Though, if there's like crazy news, Giants sign a big free agent, you know, something happens. We talked about possibly getting back to do like a shorter show. At that point, maybe we don't even go live, though we could go live. But the idea would be, yeah, you know, if need be, we can do an emergency show. But if nothing really happens, we're going to skip next week and then we'll come back the first week of December for this show. And also, next week we'll not have episode of the Death Lineup, because that is, we usually record that on Thursday. That would be Thanksgiving. But Brian was on, he was out this weekend and last week because his stepsister got married in Chicago. So they were out there. He's back. We have to figure out our schedules for this week, but we are hopeful to be back at some point doing an episode of the Death Lineup. And then Rod and I are going to be back this weekend after Niners and Packers. So there will be stuff going on throughout, you know, the time, even as Brad and I are like, nothing going on. What are we going
to
do?
We're waiting for the hot stove to actually, we're waiting for somebody to light the hot stove, for crying out loud. I mean, but yeah, I think traditionally things happen after Thanksgiving. I know a lot of players have gone on the record. They like to sign deals before Christmas. They like to be settled before the holidays, which I totally understand because you want to enjoy your holidays, not think about that stuff. But we'll see. I mean, it wasn't before Christmas. We had the, I think, what, like 2 days before Christmas, we had the Correa thing, right?
Right.
It started blowing up. And then all of a sudden we're like, his ankle, what's going on? And so that all happened like 2 days before Christmas.
Yes. Yes, exactly. All right. So we're done for this week. Like I said, if there's anything urgent, we'll do something, but we're going to skip next week. So have a great Thanksgiving. Hopefully where are you posting now? Are you back on, you're on Threads? Are you posting?
I'm on Threads. Yeah, I think I'm a little inside baseball here. I think we need to find our login for Instagram because I want to get back on there and do some stuff. But I don't think either of us know what our BSPN login for Instagram is.
I have it, but I don't. Yeah, I am on it because I haven't logged out. But if you ask me what the password is, I probably don't. I don't know.
maybe we reset it and I get back in there. But yeah, I left Twitter. Man, what was that? August?
Yeah, you got out before.
I got out before
everybody got out. Yeah.
But I'm on Threads. I'm trying out Blue Sky. It's interesting. It's
let different. Me let me
it's,
know what you yeah. think about Blue Sky, because
yeah.
I'm on Blue Sky. They have these things called starter packs that you can kind of like show people who to follow. So if you like it, I don't have a BS. We don't have a BSPN count on Blue Sky yet.
Right.
But that if it.
But I have a personal account.
Yeah. You have a personal account. If it becomes something, then maybe we will pull that over to Blue Sky as well. But if you're on Blue Sky, we can still do stuff. Like I shared our live stream for this show on Blue Sky.
Cool.
So
awesome.
We'll share our accounts if we actually do get going. All right. Okay. So for Brad, I am Double G. We will see you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
This time of year, a good hoodie is absolutely essential. But it's tough to find one that will last through the season. That's why the American Giant Classic Full Zip Hoodie is made to last a lifetime. So you can count on it to bring you comfort and warmth year after year. Slate Magazine called it the greatest hoodie ever made. And from cotton to zipper, it's made right here in the USA. With timeless style, heavyweight fleece, a double-lined hood, and reinforced elbow patches, you can depend on it for years to come. Snag the hoodie that will bring you comfort for life, the American Giant Classic Full Zip, and save 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com when you use code CLASSIC24 at checkout. That's 20% off your first order at American-Giant.com, code CLASSIC24.
New year, same great savings. All in the Kroger app. Get Kroger Spiral Sliced Ham for 89 cents a pound with your card and an additional $25 purchase limit too. Then get large avocados or mangoes for 99 cents each with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.